Welcome to In the Moment. I'm Lori Walsh. South Dakota yoga lovers gather, embrace, and expand this weekend at the second annual South Dakota Yoga Conference. Joining us now to talk about the event and about South Dakota's yoga community, we welcome Jillian Anawadi to the. She's with us from Rapid City on the phone. Jillian is the owner of Vibrant Life Yoga and Pilates in Rapid City. Jillian, thanks for being here.
Thank you so much, Lori.
Also with us, we have Scotty Brook, who is the owner of Sturgis Yoga. She's joining us from Rapid City as well. Welcome, Scotty.
Thank you for having us.
All right, Jillian, let's start with you and give us an overview of this conference, first off.
Okay, well, so the conference is to feature yoga in South Dakota. All of the teachers, there's about 29 teachers, I think, this year at the conference, and they're all either from South Dakota or are currently living and teaching in South Dakota or have South Dakota roots. And it's really nice because, you know, there's, since we are landlocked here, sometimes we don't always get access to a lot of things that, you know, happen in cities and things. And a lot of people go and get training and come back and have a lot to offer. And we can get such good yoga locally, and that's really what this is about, is, you know, getting a bunch of people together with common interest and common good and sharing in this practice, and then letting that kind of ripple goodness through the rest of our lives and our community.
Jillian, do you have a sense of how long yoga has been practiced in this state? Is it fairly recent that you could get certified in the state?
No.
Just tell us a little bit about the history of yoga in South Dakota as you might know it.
Well, and I might have Scotty jump in here too,
sure.
But it's fairly recent that it's as accessible as it is, but probably people have been teaching yoga for at least 30 years in South Dakota, probably more. You know, it's a ancient practice, and people are able to do it on their own or in groups, and I think people have been doing yoga in South Dakota as long as I have no idea how long people have been doing yoga.
Scotty, do you have some thoughts? You know what I'm asking? The heart of the question is, you know, is it popular now, but yet before it was really difficult to find, you know, a place to practice?
I think Jillian is spot on. I think it's been around for a long time. I think there's been people here practicing for a long time and even some people teaching, but I think it's just more recently that it has been more accessible for, you know, if we'd say the masses maybe to join in, and more studios popping up and more group classes where, you know, 20, 30 years ago, it maybe would have been, you know, one teacher in a region that would do like a weekly class or, you know, a class in her house. And so I think that the fact that there are so many studios and so many teachers in South Dakota now just speaks to, you know, just the power of yoga and the power of gathering together to do yoga.
Sure. Well, then, Scotty, do you run into the situation where people start being afraid? Is it more competitive? Or how do you sort of lift each other up and bring more people into the studio onto the mat versus, you know, fighting over a limited pool of people who want to try yoga?
Yeah, I think that's a great question. And honestly, I think that's where the South Dakota Yoga Conference comes in. And that's where the idea for it even started, was that we have, you know, we have all of these great, unique, diverse teachers across the state of South Dakota. And we have, you know, as you said, we do have a fairly limited pool, I guess, just because our population is smaller of students. But I think the whole idea is that there is no reason to fight. There is no reason to maybe get competitive over that. And I think just coming together, collaborating together, connecting together as a community, as a yoga community, can really show that there's power in that. There's power in not in maybe not being competitive.
Jillian, tell me a little bit about who's coming to the conference. Is it just teachers, or are people coming to just practice and with teachers from across the state?
Well, both, yes. And so we have a wide range of people registered already, from, you know, teenagers to people in their late 70s, early 80s, and that are teachers and that also aren't teachers. And it's really about coming together and learning from each other, you know. So there are a lot of teachers that are coming for the opportunity and the experience to practice a variety of different styles of yoga, which we don't always end up, you know, having access to in one studio or another. And then there are a lot of people that, you know, just started yoga, you know, that are coming to the conference, some that have been practicing for 30 years. And there, you know, we do have a special gathering for teachers. You bring up that point of, you know, being able to collaborate with teachers to expand the offering of yoga. And we have a special gathering for just teachers and aspiring teachers and studio owners on Friday before the general conference starts, where we are just going to have a bunch of roundtable discussions about how to connect and expand and spread and make accessible this offering for South Dakota. So
let's talk
a little bit of everybody.
Yeah, let's talk a little bit about the business end of sort of operating a yoga studio and being a teacher. It's a different business model, isn't it, Jillian? And how do you sort of approach that to be a successful small business owner, but also, you know, adhere to the principles of yoga?
Right. It's a challenge. It really is, you know, and there's several models of business models for yoga studios across the state. I know, for instance, there's one studio in Rapid that is a donation-based studio. So they have a totally different model for structuring their classes and their community than, say, what I do, you know. It is challenging to stay, you know, connected as, like, having a common good of expanding, you know, yoga and sharing that and still running a successful business with, you know, different events going on at different studios all the time. And, but I mean, ultimately, everybody's offering something a little different and people end up landing in a place that really resonates with where they are in their practice and their journey. And that's how I resolve
it. Sure. Scotty, how about you? You love to organize things and piece together the puzzle. So how does the business side of you and the sort of sit and breathe side of you work together?
You know, I have a studio in Sturgis, and but it's not my only job. I'm also a librarian for the public schools in Sturgis and do a lot of coaching. And so actually I have a lot of things going on in my life. And I think having the yoga studio and being able to teach yoga and bring people in from the community, even though it is a business, it brings me something in my life as well that I need, which is that, you know, that sit and breathe and peace. And so it's kind of a nice balance, I guess. Even though, you know, no lie, it's a lot of work, right. You know, not only running a studio, but also organizing events like this. And I think it just takes maybe having your own, you know, your own practice and having the presence of mind to be able to take some breaths throughout the day and, you know, kind of keep yourself balanced and centered, for sure.
How do you fit your own practice into that schedule then? Is your practice just in the classroom when you're leading, or are you doing things on throughout the day that maybe would surprise people to what, you know, what all encompasses a yoga practice for you?
Yeah, I actually think it would surprise people, because I think when people think about having, you know, your own personal home practice, you think of it as like you have to have an hour on your mat in this really beautiful space, you know, that you've created in your home and no distractions. And it's really not what it is. It may be, you know, waking up in the morning and sitting on the side of your bed and doing some spine movements, or it might be taking a few deep breaths in traffic, or standing on one foot as you're brushing your teeth. You know, I mean, there's little things that can happen throughout the day that, if you are being mindful about it and present as you're doing it, is yoga. And then, you know, when there's time, and if there's time, that practice can evolve into something bigger or longer or deeper. But just those things alone are easy to sneak in throughout a day.
Jillian, last week I talked with a South Dakota native named Heather Heintz. She now lives and teaches yoga, works in hospice in Hilo, Hawaii. And one of the things that I really enjoyed speaking with her about is this notion of how it can be easy to turn yoga into, you know, something that only super fit white women are you know, who have time and money to buy the fancy clothes are doing, and really talked about being accessible and doing yoga in your jeans and not worrying how you look. Is that something that you've sort of seen too, that people struggle with because yoga becomes more popular and becomes more Instagrammable, if you will, that some people struggle to find their way into a meaningful practice for the rest of us?
I would say so. Yeah. And I mean, you know, even as like a yoga teacher and studio owner and things like that, you know, there's a certain amount of things that you have to kind of get over that way, you know, like having to always look good in yoga pants and things like that. But I can tell you, like, the majority of my clients are in their 50s or 60s, and I think that people just don't even realize how simple it is that you just, I mean, a pair of sweatpants and a baggy t-shirt will probably even be better than like a really fitted top and pants, because they're always moving around and I don't know. It's, and like Scotty was saying, like yoga, it's easy to put it in a box, you know, because most people's experience with it is like in a class. And so like, you have to make your yoga look like it, the teacher tells you to look, make it look like, or whatever. But, I think that, people would do more of it if they didn't think that it had to be a certain thing that it's,
sure.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, yeah. Start where you are and, make it. Yeah. Interesting. Jillian, is it still time to register or is that over?
Yeah,
okay.
Yeah.
Give us the information about dates and times and where to go online to sign up.
The conference is at the Lodge at Deadwood, which is a beautiful venue, and we have several large rooms. So there's lots of room for whoever wants to show up and practice. It's this weekend, the 28th through 30th. It starts on Friday and Sunday. Multiple options for people to come and join us, whether they want to come for a whole day, the whole conference, or a single session. They can register for whatever fits in their weekend. And then the website to register is www.sdyogaconference.com. And we're on Facebook as well. I think that answered your question.
All right. Jillian Anawati is organizer and presenter at this year's South Dakota Yoga Con. It's at the Lodge in Deadwood. We'll put a link up on our website after the program as well. She's the owner of Vibrant Life and Yoga, Vibrant Life Yoga and Pilates in Rapid City. Jillian, thank you so much.
Thank you.
And Scotty Brook, owner of Sturgis Yoga, presenting at the conference as well. Scotty, thank you.
Thank you for having us.